We'll look at three ideas, three words in particular that are used in the pages of Scripture that carry with them the idea of change, the kind of change that is necessary for us to be prepared for eternity. The three words that we want to consider this evening are transferred, transformed, and transported. And while all sound very similar to one another, and there's a lot of similarity in their meanings, there are some distinctions and some small differences among them that I think it's important for us to note. And I think as we look through here and consider these words, there are going to be some things that we will recognize in these differences, and I hope that they will help us to make sure that we are prepared for eternity, because that's what we're all working toward, is to be ready for the time of eternity so that we can be with God for all eternity. And we recognize that these are some themes, ideas that are talked about in the pages of Scripture. And the first one that we have here is transferred. And yes, I have all three words on the screen already, but I've already told you what they were anyway. Transferred is an idea that is made mention of in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 in particular, we read, "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Now, if you're reading that from the Old King James Version, it probably uses the term translated. The idea here, as we look at the word that's actually translated there, is transfer. The Greek word means to transfer, carry away, depose, or figuratively exchange. Put out, remove, translate, turn away are also some of the ideas that are put forth when we look that word up in Strong's dictionary. When we look up this word transferred or translated, what we find in our English dictionaries is to move, to bear, to change from one place to another, from one state to another, from one form to another, or from one appearance to another. Well, the Apostle Paul is telling these brethren there in Colossae is that you have been moved from one kingdom to another kingdom. And this would be a situation that even to these Jews and Gentiles in the city of Colossae who had been under the Roman rule for so long, that they would be familiar with, because if nothing else, their ancestors very likely had been moved from one place to another when a kingdom conquered another. As we go back and read in the Old Testament scriptures about the nation of Israel, we know that as they were conquered by the various nations for punishment by God, that those nations took them and carried them elsewhere. That's why there is no northern tribes, because the people of those northern tribes, when they were captured by the Assyrians, they were taken away to Assyria and maybe scattered out through other kingdoms. They were transferred from the kingdom of Israel to the kingdom that had conquered them. That's why we find that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Esther were in the kingdom of Babylon. They were elsewhere. They were transported and carried somewhere else by the king who had conquered them. Paul takes this idea and applies it to the change that comes in our life when we become Christians. He says we are transferred or translated or carried out of the kingdom of darkness, the place of Satan, and placed into the kingdom of Christ, the place of safety. He's using the imagery of war, and certainly that's something that's common to what we read in the New Testament scriptures and talking about our battle with Satan. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian brethren, In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he said, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel in the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And we can see some commonalities between the passage over in Colossians and this passage here, because Satan is blinding them from the light of the gospel. He's fighting against them, as we studied in earlier lessons this month. He's doing everything he can to keep them from understanding and knowing God, because we're in a battle. He writes later in chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, the weapons of our warfare are not of flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and very lofty opinions raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Here in chapter 4, we talk about Satan blinding the minds. And in chapter 10, the Apostle Paul says, we're fighting for the mind. We're fighting so that our minds can be taken captive by the will of God rather than by Satan. And it is the power of the gospel that is capable of doing that, as we've been studying in our Wednesday night class in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. The gospel is God's power to salvation. That message is our battle, and the honest and good heart who gives attention to that word will be changed from serving Satan and transferred into a kingdom where he serves the God above, the kingdom of life, the kingdom of Christ. Much like is represented in Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, the good soul, those who hear the word, hold it fast with an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. The Apostle Peter tells us that through our obedience we have purified our souls. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. We've been changed from one kingdom to another. That changes our status. That changes our citizenship. We're no longer citizens of the world. We are citizens of God's kingdom. We are citizens of heaven. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. We've renounced our citizenship with the world, with Satan, and proclaimed ourselves citizens of God. And as such, we are transferred into the kingdom of God. We're no longer a part of that old kingdom. And of course, we recognize that this takes place when we're obedient to the gospel, just like it did on the day of Pentecost. And we are, as we read in verse 47 of Acts chapter 2, added to the number that we're being saved. Because we have been transferred into the kingdom of Christ, there is a requirement that we must change ourselves. We must form ourselves to the requirements of that particular kingdom. We have to be transformed. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We look up that word and we find it is a term that means to transform, to change, transfigure. Literally, almost metamorphosis is the idea. To change in composition or structure is what we find when we look up this English word. to change the outward form or appearance of, to change in character or condition. As I was thinking on this afternoon again, I thought, you know, when we left the state of Texas and came to the state of Arkansas, we changed our city citizenship. We're no longer citizens of Texas, we're citizens of Arkansas. And as such, there were some changes we had to make. The one that stands out, I had to start paying state income tax. I had to change, I had to transform my ideas about taxes because Arkansas has a state income tax and Texas doesn't. And so there was a change that came about. That's another one of the little simple examples that I hope gets the point across. But we transform. We're no longer the same person that we were. Therefore, there should be a change in our character, a change in our structure, in our focus, in our attitude, and even in our appearance and our condition. I think one of the places where this stands out is when we truly come to understand the blessings that we have in Christ and we put our hope in the Lord and we have our treasures laid up in heaven, we don't go around so saddened and beat down because of all the things that are going on in the world as those who have their hopes and trust in the world. Now, I've never had enough money put back or never had any stocks in the stock market, so changes in the stock market's never changed my mood much at all. But if all your money is in a particular stock and that stock drops to the rock bottom, you're probably going to be a little less than happy about that. It's going to affect your mood and your attitude. So if our focus is no longer on the things of this world, we're not conform to the world, but our trust and our hope is in God, the things that happen in this world won't affect us the same way that they affect someone else. Our attitude is one of the places where we should see a great difference between us and the world. We can find joy even in great sorrow and difficulty because our joy is not based on earthly things, it's based on heavenly things. Attended a funeral just this past week of a fellow that I had known, as I told some of you, as long as I've known my parents. And while there was some sadness there, there wasn't the kind of sadness that I see amongst people who are in the world that lose someone, because there was also a joy that was present among all that were gathered. Even among the closest of family, there was a joy that was present within them because they were confident that this man had given his life to the Lord and had put forth his best foot so that he could serve the Lord and enter into heaven. And they had hope that he was with God. And that changes our whole outlook. We need to transform because we're no longer citizens of this earth. Paul wrote to the Ephesian brethren regarding this in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 17, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." We could turn back over to the book of Colossians and read in Colossians chapter 3 that list of things that Paul has there that you're to put off so that you can put on. And that's the idea of transforming our minds, transforming ourselves to be in the image of God. Because we have been transferred into the kingdom of God, we need to transform our character and conduct. Yet, all too frequently, folks are transferred into the kingdom of God, but they don't continue the process and do not transform, and therefore they're lost. Much like those we read of again in Luke chapter 8, verse 13 and 14. The ones that are on the rocky ground are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe it for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Do you know where the problem were with those two situations? They didn't transform. They didn't get away from the problems and struggles and difficulties of life. They allowed themselves to still be caught up in the world. And because of that, they fell to the wayside. Paul rebuked the Corinthians for just this kind of a situation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk and not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Even now you're not ready, for you're still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way?" We remember the letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthian brethren, how he rebuked them because they were divided over who they were following, because they were following after men instead of following after Christ. Here he talks about them having jealousy and strife. If we are transforming our minds, renewing our minds through the Word of God, these are things that we will leave behind. That will become less and less of a problem for us as we change our character and our conduct to match the kingdom that we've been transferred into. It is a daily struggle. It is something that we must work with every hour of every day, trying to conform ourselves into the image of Jesus. For that's what we're seeking to do. And it is a process that is going to be filled with frustration. It's going to have its ups and downs. But the more we focus ourselves toward that, the more we enjoy the peaceable fruit of righteousness, the more we are able to find joy and peace, even in difficulty and sorrow. We need to remember that transferring to a new kingdom is much easier than transforming into a citizen of that kingdom. Now, there's not a whole lot of difference between the state of Texas and the state of Arkansas in regards to the way people are. So it's really not that much of a change. So that's not much of an example in talking about that. But if we were to, say, transfer ourselves from the United States of America to North Korea, I'm not sure why we would want to do that, but if we did, there'd be some major changes that have to take place in our life, wouldn't there? Some big adjustments that we would have to make. Because there's a major difference, and it would be something that we would have to struggle with all the time. It might not be hard to get to that country, but it sure be hard to become part of that country. That was one of the problems that Mordecai ran into when he was in the capital city in the book of Esther. He was a citizen of that city, part of that nation, because he'd been captured and carried there. But he did not conform to their customs. He didn't bow down to those who thought they should be honored, because he was still a Jew at heart. He didn't transform. Of course, he wasn't supposed to transform. He was to remain a Jew. But there were adjustments that needed to be made if he was going to become one of those citizens. But if we don't transform, we can't be saved. The Hebrew letter tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. And as I read that verse again just now, be ye holy, for God is holy. That's probably a paraphrase, and maybe even a bad one, but the point that is made there is we need to change ourselves to be like God. If we don't, we'll never see the Lord. Our transformation is essential to achieving the eternal destination of heaven. I'm afraid sometimes we stress so much, and we've talked about this in other lessons, we've stressed so much the transfer process and how important it is to become a Christian that we don't always continue and talk about the transformation process. And as we talked about in a lesson just a few weeks ago, that's one of the reasons that we lose new converts. Because we get them transferred into the kingdom, but we don't stay with them and work with them so that they can be transformed into the image of God's Son. You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. We need to seek completion in Christ, to change ourselves, to transform our conduct, our character, our very image to the world, into those things that are in harmony with the teaching of the truth. Because whether we've transferred or not, or transformed or not, we will be transported in the end of time. For that, we turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. In verse 22 and 23, we read, in the midst of the story of the rich man and Lazarus, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus at his side. This is one of many places in the pages of Scripture that emphasize to us that there's a time coming when we will be transported from this earth to stand in judgment. Where we are transported is determined by our transformation. And as we know, our transformation is dependent upon our transference into the kingdom of God. We cannot transform in the image of the Son if we're not already in the kingdom of the Son. And if we don't transform into His image, we will not be happy with the destination when we are transported. The Son of Man will send His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Explanation of the parable of the tares. When the end comes, all will be gathered. Again, a parable in Matthew chapter 13, verse 47 through 50. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All that are in the graves, all that are in the seas, all that are still alive will come forth and stand before God in judgment. Everyone will be transported. Just as it is appointed for man to die once, after that comes judgment. We've been transferred into the kingdom of life. That's the message that Paul sent to the Corinthian brethren, or the Colossian brethren. Because you were obedient to the word as it was delivered to you. Because you changed your hearts and submitted to the will of God, and your belief caused you to act upon that will and to do the things that it requires of you. You've been transferred into Christ's kingdom. Each one of us here has been transferred into the kingdom of Christ, those who have been obedient to the will of God. The question is, are we transformed? And when we put this lesson in with some of the lessons we've already had, are we still transforming? It's not like we're going to get up one morning and we've got it all done. We've been changed into the image of the Son, and so we've got it made. We don't have to worry about transforming anymore. We're in a constant state of transformation. We're constantly changing, and we should be growing closer and closer to God. The moment we stop transforming, we begin to go back into the character and conduct that we had before. Once we stop fighting to be like Christ, we drift back into being like the world around us. If we're not transforming, we're going to miss the destination we want when we are transported. The Lord Himself will descend from heaven, we read in the Thessalonian letter, with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Certainly, we've studied that, and we recognize Paul's only talking about those that are in Christ. He has no reference to those outside of Christ in this particular passage. He's emphasizing the fact that those who have already gone, their fate is sealed. It's determined. And that's why I include this passage, because it's a reminder to us that we've only got a certain amount of time in which we can transform. We may not live till the Christ descends from heaven. We've only got our time here on earth that we can change our ways, that we can grow to be more like Him, and that should put upon us an urgency. Because we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us will receive what is due for what we have done in the body, whether it is good or it is evil. We will be transported to stand before the Lord in judgment. The difference in where we go from there is determined by how much we have transformed, if we are transforming and continuing to transform. Continuing to draw ourselves closer to the image of the Christ. That means the destination of our transportation makes our transfer and transformation of utmost importance. We can either be carried by the angels to be in the safety and comfort of the bosom of the Lord in heaven for all eternity, or we can be cast aside into the lake that burns with fire and brimstone with Satan and all of his servants and followers. That should place upon us an urgency and a strong determination to make sure that we are continuing to transform. Because as the Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Are you transforming? Is a question we should ask ourselves regularly. When we follow the example or the instruction of the Apostle Paul and we examine ourselves, that's one of the things we're looking for. Am I coming closer to the image of Christ? Constantly striving to be better in my service to God. Be more holy, be more just, more righteous. My dealings with my fellow man, my dealings with my family, my dealings on the job, at school, wherever it may be. Be striving to be like Christ. The example is before us in the pages of Scripture.
And we are urged to be diligent in applying these things to our life. If you find this evening things in your life that are amiss and need to be set right, seek forgiveness. Pray to God and ask Him to forgive. If it's something that's brought shame and reproach upon the church, and something that you've been struggling with and having difficulty overcoming, maybe you need the prayers of your brethren. Maybe you need some support and some strength from the brothers and sisters here so that you can do better in those things. Ask the brethren. I'm confident that all of them are ready to help and whatever way you can. If you think this evening is a need for you to come forward and correct those things, opportunity is yours. Come, let us stand and sing.